beards are back, and the human race is back on track. Beards are growing thick and fast, beards are back and they're going to last. Beards in the cities, in the streets, on the faces of everyone you meet. Just look around the world today, beards are back and they're here to stay.
G'day and welcome to the Drunken Beersman Podcast. I'm your host, Uncle Dan, and joining me as always, the barley to my malt, it's...
JD.
It's been fucking happening, brother.
Not a lot, brother. Jeez. Happy New Year's, Merry Christmas and all that jazz.
Happy New Year's, Merry Christmas and all that shit. How the fuck have you been?
Oh, man, it's been hectic. Birthdays, Christmases, New Year's, sunburn, the lot.
Did you miss it, man?
Nah.
Did you miss
the podcast? Fucking oaf.
Hey, no, did you miss the drudgery of day-to-day life? Fuck, it's good to be back in the frigging chair, I tell you what,
I've been
man.
Keen as mustard.
Oh, yes, yeah, so I come down today and I fucking pulled the sheets off the fucking equipment and aired out the Adelaide Hall of Beers, and I got a bit emotional, man.
Did you?
I did.
You get teary-eyed.
I did. I didn't realise how much I fucking missed this all last year.
Neither did I up until about a week ago. Started getting agitated and whatnot.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely fucking fantastic, man. I'm so glad to be back, and I want to say thank you to all you lovely listeners out there who have persevered, and if you've decided to join us on this, our first episode of the second year, welcome to the Drunken Beersman Podcast. We sit down, get pissed, talk about a bit of booze, some beards. Yes, it's going to be a little bit different to some of our returning listeners because we've actually split the podcast. If you're out there and you want to hear our thoughts on some of the more nerdy sort of stuff, why don't you go check out two? I think we sit down and start recording that one.
Probably comes out about a week and a half.
Yeah, so watch this space, ladies and gentlemen. But let's not fuck around.
A booze review.
So what do you got for us this week, brother?
So in honor of, or in celebration, I guess, to Jim Murray's The Whiskey Bible.
Yes.
Old Yamasaki sherry cask got number one. Couldn't find any sherry cask, but I found the Distiller's Reserve and the 12-year-old. I was on a bit of a...
Budgetary constraint.
That's the word I'm looking for.
It is quite fucking X-y sort of fucking whiskey.
Yeah, well,
whiskey.
I had $80, and lo and behold, it was $79.95.
Sounds like fate to me, brother.
Isn't it? So, yeah, I got the Yamazaki Single Malt Whiskey Distiller's Reserve. Obviously, it's by Suntory or Beam Suntory. It was... Yamazaki Distillery was actually built in 1923 by Shinjiro Tori. 1929 saw the birth of their first whiskey, Shirafuda.
Actually, you know, I don't know, but a little bit of trivia just to get off topic.
Yeah.
The Scottish lass who's uncredited for bringing whiskey to Japan actually died last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at the age of 93 or some shit like that. Or,
oh, dang.
Yeah, so
that's
just
a fucking long ride.
Yeah, I did have the article, but I lost it. So, yeah, no. But, yeah, no, that's a nice little aside to your fucking beach review. Continue, please.
1937 saw a birth of a masterpiece, the Kikubun. I'm going to ruin that fucking translation. Or whatever the fuck you call it.
Pronunciation,
that's a word. Fuck.
God
fuck rusty.
It's going to be a long ass.
God damn it.
Jesus.
Anyway, 1984 saw the birth of the single malt whiskey Yamazaki, the one I'm drinking right now.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, no, it wasn't. It was a 12-year-old. Sorry. 1989 was the birth of a commemorative whiskey that celebrated the 90th anniversary, Suntory's 90th anniversary. It was called Hibiki 17 Years. 1984... saw the birth of another single malt, Hakushu, the 12-year-old. 2003 saw them win a gold medal at the International Spirits Challenge.
Nice.
In which the Suntory Whiskey Yamazaki 12 Years was the first Japanese whiskey to be decorated with a gold medal.
Beautiful.
So it only took 90 years?
still baby years.
80 years, sorry. 2010 saw him win another one for the Yamazaki 1994. 2014 saw them Suntory Liquors named Distiller of the Year for the fourth time and third consecutive year.
Really?
Yeah, no bullshit. Damn. And it also saw him win, oh, I guess you could say win Jim Murray's fucking whiskey bible.
Yeah, and I mean, Suntory also owns a fucking fair proportion of the world.
Oh, between them and fucking Pernod Ricard.
Yeah.
They pretty well own the whole world.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, at least the whole fucking booze whiskey world. So, yeah, no, that's fantastic.
So, man, I couldn't really find too much on the distilling process. It's pretty... I'd hide it if I was
in. I do know that the yeast they use in the in the process is actually sake yeast.
Yeah, nice.
So, it's part of what gives their whiskies that unique flavour that they tend to have and their unique sort of fucking flavour and notes is the fact that they use... It's got a special name because it's only found in Japan.
Yeah,
and it's I forget where they get it from. A unique strain of yeast that they use, and they use it in all their scotches. So it's often credited as one of the main reasons as to why it has the taste and the character that it does.
It's a pretty interesting taste and character too. It's like, it smells really smooth, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
Like, I honestly don't know what put down to the smell. Hey,
it has a very just a slight fucking hint on it.
Well, I was reading the tasting notes, and they reckon it's strawberry, cherry, and Mizunara. Whatever the fuck Mizunara is.
I don't know.
Japanese oak, that is.
Yeah, that might be it. It's a very sweet, woody fucking smell about it. You know, just a hint of it off the fucking back end. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't see where they got the strawberry and cherry. Maybe it's just my palate.
It's a little bit fucking weird how they come up with that sort of shit. Actually, on the note of fucking how they rate and grade their fucking booze reviews, we should probably take time to explain that our booze reviews have indeed changed over the break.
Yes, the process has changed. We're a little bit more...
We've refined it just a little bit more refined. So we're now going to class alcohol, or spirits at least, into five separate categories, which include on the nose, through the lips, the aftermath, the ABV price weighting, and the total experience, which gives our prospective spirits a total score out of 50 between the two of us.
Yep.
Yeah, 50 between the two of us, because we're going to score each. So each topic gets out of 5 from each of us.
Yep.
So a potential of 10 points there for each 5 topics. Yeah, 50 points. Just to try and narrow it down a little bit, and they're going to start turning up on the website, actually. If you missed one of our booze reviews, or you want to have a look at some of our previous booze reviews, why don't you pop over to...
TheDrunkenMeadsman.com.
That's exactly right, and follow the links there to the booze review. So let's get down to the meat and fucking balls of this shit, man. Let's start off with on the nose. So that's pretty self-explanatory for everybody at home. It's got a very full fucking scent about it.
I like it. I'm gonna give that one a 4.
You're gonna give that one a 4? And I'm gonna give it a 5, actually. For a fucking scotch, it's
Whiskey.
Sorry, I got fucking scotch on the head for something.
I told you, it's a single malt that gets you.
It is a single malt that gets me. But I have found, like, I do like it quite a lot, you know what I mean? It's very full, which you get, which is quite rare in a whiskey, not so much a scotch. See, scotch on the fucking brain. But it, by the same token, it's not an overpowering scent, and it does have just that strangeness about it that I really do fucking quite enjoy.
Mm. You know, actually, a little bit of a trivia. The distiller's reserve isn't actually single malt, technically.
That's how you get your blends, I suppose, yeah. So... All right, well, what we're going through, we're going to cover two topics here. So that's on the lips and through the lips, and of course, the aftermath. So, Sarja.
In and around a mouth.
Always.
Ooh.
Hot damn.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's not too fucking bad. It's a little bit different.
Mm.
Not as full-bodied as what you'd expect given the fucking scent.
Yeah.
Little bit fucking thin there, that. But, I know I probably should have saved a bit of that. Fuck.
Well, I'm going to give this one a 4 on the lips.
Yeah, I'm probably going to agree. They'll give it a 4 too. Not quite as full of creamy as what I'd expect.
No.
And that's based purely on the fucking scent, but... It is a very light and breezy sort of fucking...
Oh, it goes down really
bright
well.
Bright and breezy sort of taste, and it is rather smooth going down. I've got to give it that. It's very flavourful, and like I said, yeah, no, the burn doesn't really hang around, doesn't linger at all.
Yeah. Well, you can definitely taste that oakiness in the sherry.
Yeah, you can definitely taste the meat of it. Put it that way.
Yeah, and there's a slight hint of spice. I can't put my finger on what one it is, but yeah, there's a little bit of spice.
A little bit of sweet. It's a fucking very good blend, actually. You know what? I don't fucking change mine to a 5. I quite enjoyed that. Aftermath,
I'm going to put a 5 because it went down 5. Smooth.
Actually, yeah, I am. Nah. Yeah, it's definitely a sipper, not a guzzler. Because I had a shot around at yours, last week, I think.
Yep.
And I fucking just chugged that shit down fucking hot and it hurt. But
yeah, definitely on the rocks, though.
Yeah, definitely a sipper, not a soda. So I'll give that one a 4. ABV to price.
ABV is 43%. The price was $79.95.
So it is a little bit more expensive, but then again, it is a single malt too, which is rare enough in a Scotch, let alone a fucking whiskey.
Mm.
You don't often get that. So, look, I think this is down to player's choice, bro. What are you going to give it?
I'm going to give this a number 4.
You're going to give that a number 4? Yeah, actually, I'm going to give it a number 4 too. There is a couple others that I think are better quality for value, but then again, it's kind of hard to fucking go past, especially if you do enjoy your whiskies. It is quite enjoyable. Which brings us to our last topic, of course, which is the experience.
Well, bro, I'm going to keep it all going. I'm going to give that one a 4.
You're going to give it a 4 straight down the fucking line.
Straight down the line.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to give it a 4 as well. It is quite an enjoyable fucking whiskey to be drinking, and you know, given the pedigree of it, it's well worth the total score of 43, which gives it in the
vicinity of an A-.
A- is what the Yamazaki. Sorry,
Yamazaki Single Malt Distillers Reserve
is an A- from the Drunken Beersman. Well, there you go, bro. That was our fucking booze review for this week.
That's right. As you can tell, we're not going to have individual ratings anymore. It's all pretty well cohesive.
Yeah, we've decided to try and refine it, make it a little bit easier on ourselves. Not just for ourselves, but for everybody else out there. You know what I mean? Just to make it a little bit nice and simple. But while we are on this fucking note of booze and fucking just very nice booze in total.
Yeah.
The Shivers Brothers, you know, they're the fuckers who are owned by Pernod Ricard, and well, if you've never had Shivers Scotch, there's something fucking quite wrong with you.
But if you were listening last year, you wouldn't know that we had the 12 and 18 year old.
The 12 and the 18 year old has indeed made an appearance on the podcast before. Now, the Shivers Brothers are actually planning to triple production at the Glenlivet Distillery. So apparently, the company's applied to the Cairngorms National Park Authority for permission to build new facilities and upgrade existing facilities at the Glenlivet site near Ballandaloch on Speyside. Basically, what they're wanting to do is new buildings to house distilling operations, a new tank and equipment area, groundworks and landscaping, a replacement bio plant, new pipe work, new access to the site, and altering existing properties and buildings. So they reckon by doing all this, it's going to triple production capacity.
Nice.
It means 3 times the Scotch, and I can't fucking argue with that. Especially seeing as Glenlivet is a very, very nice fucking drop. So hopefully indeed we'll see some more 12-year-old Glenlivet coming out in about, I don't know, 15 years fucking time. as an added bonus, the expansion is expected to create about 13 permanent new jobs. So they reckon about October they plan to start production.
Oh, so they reckon it's going to be all built by
October. As long as everything goes through, because it's still in the planning and fucking, you know, the planning process at the moment. They reckon about October they've penciled in it's going to be a good time to start.
Good stuff.
So hopefully we'll be seeing some new Scotch coming out of Scotland very, very soon. Speyside Scotch, it's always nice.
Well, it's good to see that they're, or at least someone's trying to do something to win that inaugural, I guess you could say, number one spot on the Whiskey Bible.
Well, I think it's more in fucking...
I'm sure that would have hurt.
It would have hurt, but I think it's probably more in response to the current shortage we're going through with Scotch and whiskey at the moment, or even bourbon indeed. Seems to have hit a real fucking resurgence. I think the day of the vodka fucking supremacy is starting to hit a bit of a fucking downturn as people tend to go towards the more, well, what's fast becoming a more affordable premium fucking section of the Scotch and whiskey market. Like, I remember
not only that, all the craft beer that's coming out as well.
Yeah, so
definitely made an effect.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've known since what the start of last year, pretty much, that we're in a bit of a fucking whiskey downturn, well, yep. whiskey shortage. So, you know, it's going to take 4 or 5 years, so it's probably going to not make this whiskey shortage. There'll be a fucking bit of a surplus, but hopefully they learn from this seems to be continuing cycle of fucking shortages and overabundances and actually fucking stockpile some. So it's good to see. I thought it was worth mentioning, man, just for the simple fact that it has the pedigree, especially, like I said, Glenlivet's. Hopefully we see some more of that coming out in the near fucking future.
Definitely getting me a bottle.
Yes. Now, what the fuck is the go with this Jack Daniel's son, Jim God. Beam? What's right. going on here, bro? Tell
so
me.
So there's this guy called Jack Daniel's Leathers, who's married to Lydia Leathers. Now, Jack Daniel's parents, in spite of their parents, wanted to name their kid something not necessarily stupid, but odd. So they called him Jack Daniel's. Now,
you're joking.
Jack and Lydia have gone to have fucking a kid, right? And he's decided to carry on tradition. So he called his son Jim Beam Leathers.
Okay, I hate to tell him, but Jack Daniels as a name isn't all that original.
No.
I know I know two Jack Daniels. I am not shitting. I know Jack Daniels Wolf, and I know another Jack Daniels way up north in fucking North Queensland. So it's not that fucking original. But, yeah,
well,
okay.
They are alcohol enthusiasts, I guess you could say.
That's one name for it.
Yep. It's funny because when they got married, the judge that officiated the wedding, his name was Johnny Walker.
Are you getting the... Are you fucking kidding
me? No bullshit, man.
What the fuck? Where is this again?
I can't even fucking remember where it is.
Holy...
Somewhere in the US.
Fucking shit. I need to get a hold of this fucked up family. I need to get a hold of old Jack Daniel's Leathers, hey?
Oh, it gets better.
It gets better?
Yeah. So
what is his wife's name? No, fucking... No. What? Fucking Smirnoff fucking vodka. No, fucking...
His wife's name's Lydia.
Oh, well, fuck. Ruin
no, but
story.
They plan on having more children. Now, the next name on their list as a boy is going to be Evan Williams. Oh, fuck if I know.
Drawing a blank there.
Yeah, I'm guessing some kind of fucking whiskey or something. And or Sherry, if they have a daughter.
Of course. I need... that's it. I'm making this my mission. I'm tracking down Jack Daniel Leathers, hey. So if you do listen on some weird, random fucking off chance, Jack Daniel Leathers, reach out to us through the email at mailbag@thedrunkenbeersman.com or hit us up on Twitter @drunkbeersman because fucking hell, I want to hear your goddamn story.
Yep, do it.
Where the fuck did they find an efficient named Johnny Walker? That's what I want to fucking
I don't know, but that's
like,
fucking... That's
seriously,
effort,
that's taking it to a whole new fucking level. It really fucking is.
Oh, let's go.
Oh, that's fucking excellent. Now, of course, you wanted to bring the whole podcast down by talking about some thievery.
Oh, my God.
Some evil. That's a foot.
Like, I get that people get desperate and they want to thieve petty things like food and whatnot. And
food to feed themselves and their stuff. Fuck the peasants.
Come on now. And, the usual alcoholics want to steal a bottle here and there and whatnot, but...
Oh,
really?
Some dude in the States recently got 7 years for stealing a $10 bottle of vodka.
Really?
Where?
Holy fuck. Actually, it was £10.
Yeah, it must have been over in the UK.
I read that today.
Yeah.
Anyway, not only did Pappy Van Winkle get done in 2013, and the Dublin distillery last year got done.
Yes.
15,048 bottles of gin and whiskey.
Yeah, it was like two or three fucking trailers. Yeah.
And they got footage of it too.
Yeah.
They're fucked up.
Ballsy motherfuckers.
But anyway, fucking early December last year, there was a 34-year-old that got stopped walking out of a bottle, right?
Yep.
As you do. The security guard decided to search him, and lo and behold, he's got a bottle of wine. Now, this bottle of wine was wrapped in alfoil, so obviously he's gone in there to steal something.
Yeah, fucking, because they put them stickers on there. So when you walk, just going beep, 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 beep. You wrap it up now. Fucking flog TVs and DVD players.
So when the officers told him how much the bottle was worth, his jaw dropped.
Just flogging a bottle of plonk.
Yeah. He thought he was stealing a $45 to $70 fucking bottle of wine.
Even that for a fucking bottle of wine. Jesus.
£19,995.
Okay. So I've got an issue with this.
For one bottle.
Right? Who the fuck leaves a £20,000? Not dollar. Not Aussie dollar. That's for damn sure. Fucking $20,000 fucking pound bottle of fucking wine just out where some fucking homeless fucking grab it. Who does that, idea. Man? Jesus, how fucking stupid have you got to be?
Apparently, he showed instant remorse.
Yeah, because he got caught.
Because he got caught and didn't realise how much it was.
He's like, all I want to do was get drunk. You're telling me I could fucking put myself up for fucking months.
Fucking no, right. So this, I had his name here somewhere. I can't remember. But yeah, apparently he's still awaiting charges. They're looking at jail time.
For 20 grand worth of theft? Yeah. He's going to jail, bro. Well,
for £10 worth of theft, you got 7 years, so.
Yeah, well, there you go. So, you know.
Minimum.
Fuck. Minimum mandatory sentencing. Fucking hell. That's unfucking real, man. That is absolutely
crazy.
You
know what's unreal?
You know what he needed? You know what he needed?
What?
He needed some sort of alcoholic beverage that would make him smarter and not so stupid as to A, fucking steal, and B, steal the most expensive bottle of fucking wine in what I'm sure is, you know, England.
Well, funny you say that. And a nice segue, by the way.
Thanks, bro. Just call attention to it.
Why not? So, the University of Illinois has discovered, apparently, the perfect blood alcohol percentage. So, this professor, Jenny Wiley of the University of Illinois, apparently reckons that at a certain blood alcohol level, you reach your creative peak.
Which everybody from literary giants to the local pool shark has known for fucking years.
Ah, but it gets better. This beer called... it's an IPA.
Cool.
It's called the Problem Solver.
The Problem Solver.
And what makes it unique is...
Sounds like a fucking sex toy.
Doesn't it?
Hang on, baby.
Let's not
Hang
go
on,
there.
Baby. Let me get out the Problem Solver.
That's a different podcast, bro. Anyway, apparently... Oh, what makes this unique, right, is on the back of it, it's got a graph.
Sorry, keep going.
What weight you are is to how much you should consume to get this certain blood alcohol level. And what the level that she's talking about is 0.075.
So not enough to drive.
Not too much to drive, but not enough to be pissed.
Yeah, so... Like, for instance, this in perspective, 3 drinks,
yep.
I could play pool,
yep.
I could play darts,
yep.
I can carry on pretty intelligent conversation, right?
Yep.
And apparently I can flirt, don't know. Apparently, this is what I've been told, right? If I'm good for 3 drinks, you know, most of me 4th drink, and then after that, fucked, I can't do any of those things. And sober, I can't do any of those things either, apparently. Yep. Well, apparently I can flirt. Anyway. So, yeah, I can get the logic. I can get the theory, yeah. I can get the fucking theory behind it. I think it's a little bit conceited to put the BMI fucking graph on the back.
Yeah, well...
Because, as, like, I remember in, what, grade 9 fucking physics and... not physics. In grade 9 fucking math and fucking biology, there's a lot more factors involved in intoxication than just... your size, your height, your weight, your fucking BMI and everything else. There's a lot of different factors involved. So just say we got, for example, somebody who's my height, which is, what, 5'11"?
Yep.
And my weight, which is none of your fucking business, who doesn't drink. And then you get me who fucking drinks, you know, pretty solid.
On the regular,
and then you get an alcoholic my same weight and height and size who drinks every fucking day. Well, we're going to get pissed at different fucking levels, aren't we?
Yeah.
So it's a little conceited to put the graph on, and I find it kind of fucking annoying. But yeah, I can see a fucking... The science behind it's solid.
Oh, surely it's all marketing. Really?
Oh, yeah. A big part of it is marketing. But still, that's rather
There's a little bit of science, but, you know, depending on what a test subjects and how many she did would be an interesting fact, but, yeah, nah.
Look, I can get behind at least part of... I can get behind the science, put it that way.
Oh, yeah.
I can get behind the science, you know what I mean?
I can get behind the idea, too. I like the idea, but...
And like I said, most people who do drink, especially drink on a reg and fucking try and do shit,
yep.
will agree there is a golden fucking period in that fucking session where you just seem to be on fire.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it goes away.
Seems like
not,
you
not
seem to
seems
be on fire.
Like I said, you take... You know, normal pub sports, you know, pool, darts, fuck even ping pong if you fucking got one. And there is a golden stage during a drinking session where you are fucking just better. You know what I mean? So I can get behind the fucking science. I just, it's the graph. I'm sticking on that one little pitiful fucking point. But as far as a marketing campaign goes, yeah, fuck yeah, why not? Jesus Christ, that's intelligent. I like it. It's smartest. Intelligent. So, let's moving right along from the nice intelligent beer and into another intelligent fuck decision. Apparently, Vladimir Putin said last week that the overly high alcohol prices has been leading consumers to switch to contraband, which has been frustrating the Russian government's plan to combat alcoholism, not to mention killing a few cunts, because, you know, you can't trust bathroom fucking vodka. So what they've decided to do is drop the minimum retail price 16% to about $3.25 for a half-litre bottle of vodka.
Holy fuck.
And they're going to keep it there. Now, $3, you know, 25 sounds like an awfully cheap bottle of vodka, but when you consider the fact that Russians use vodka for everything, you know, not just for drinking, they use it for everything. It's it's fucking
not too
bad.
It's pretty versatile fucking chemical, isn't it?
It is, it is. And actually, I read a fucking, while we're on this subject, I read a really interesting article on how to drink vodka like a Russian.
Really?
Yeah, because Russians don't mix vodka. They just drink it, you know what I mean? And then fucking, they shot it and shit.
Yeah.
Now, apparently
They literally drink it like water.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, the secret is why Russians can do that and not fall over fucking drunk or fall over dead, in the case may be, is there's actually a fucking pretty well-defined method as to how they drink it, right? So, a couple of hours before you start drinking with a Russian.
Yeah.
Go eat a nice big greasy feed.
Yeah.
Greasy feed is the key here. You know what I mean?
Or what if you just, like, down a cup of oil?
Well, that's what I was about to say. If you fucking guzzle, you know, 2 to 3 tablespoons of oil,
yeah,
that'll help. And while you're drinking it, instead of, like, while you're having a session, don't not eat. You got to eat.
Yeah.
You know, breads and fucking thick, starchy, carb-filled foods. You know what I mean? Don't eat a whole lot, but have, like, say, 3 shots. Stop. Have a bit of a... bit of bread or fucking pickle or fucking some ham, some cheese.
Snacks.
You know, not bar side snacks because you don't want that salt content, but...
yeah.
Because, like, okay, so a typical Russian scenario be you sit down with a jar of pickles, a thing of fucking salami, a thing of bread, a thing of cheese, and a bottle of vodka, and you would just drink.
Fucking hell.
That's how they fucking do it, man. I've wanted to do it for ages. I've just never found anybody who's willing to sit down and do it with me.
We should do that through a podcast.
I'm a little bit intimidated to walk up to Russian and go, let's fucking drink, brother. But that's how they'll do it.
There's a World Vodka Day?
There is a World Vodka Day, yeah.
Let's do it World Vodka Day.
All right, World Vodka Day, we'll sit down and we'll drink.
Yep.
We'll drink like Russians, fuck it. I'll even try and... that's
going to be a messy podcast.
No, but it doesn't, though. This is the thing. Because you're eating your carbs and your starch in between...
You know my height. You know my weight.
But this is the thing. It's got nothing to do with height or weight. Because they sit down and they eat between shots,
yeah,
it's enough to soak up the alcohol, give you a bit of a buzz, but it soaks up just enough. You know what I mean? Thing is, with the Russians, is the saying is, if you do it right, you can get up from the table sober every single time. I'm willing to give it a go. And when you're down the shot, don't breathe through your mouth, you breathe through your nose.
Okay.
I don't know what the fucking go is with that, but apparently that's what they do.
Fumes, maybe?
I don't know. I can't see fumes being all that important to it.
Neither do I, but that's the only thing that I think of straight off the top of my head.
I don't know, but that's what I want to try. So anyway... like I said, vodka being such an integral part of the Russian culture, they decided to fucking drop it and freeze it, which I think is an absolute brilliant fucking idea.
Mm.
So apparently, Vadim Drobas, who's the head of an alcohol beverage fucking market researcher, said this is clearly a populist measure as Russia is entering an economic crisis that may be several years long. Russian vodka prices are already the world's highest relative to people's incomes, and real incomes are declining. And that's the other thing with the $3 fucking price tag, too. They've got shit on their fucking plate.
Mm.
You know what I mean? For a family to fucking feed out at fucking Macca's in Russia, it will cost the equivalent of hundreds of dollars.
Holy fuck.
Not, you know, 50 for a family of 5. It would cost hundreds.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So it's pretty fucking decent of them to fucking do this, I think. Not just from an alcoholic fucking perception, but from an actual just fucking normal
everyday perspective.
Wonder
how many people
are going to
lose their jobs because of it, though. When you think about it.
Well, no one, because like I said, it's not a matter of losing fucking money or fucking, you know, enabling anybody. It's making it affordable for everybody else so they don't, you know, go other places for counterfeit and potentially dangerous sources of vodka.
Oh, that's fair enough. But you know what I mean? If they drop it too low, there's going to be people that, like, buy it in bulk and drink it all in, like, a few days.
Well, like I said, they're about to enter an economic crisis. I think buying a bulk is going to be the least of their problems. And there's the thing with Russia.
Buy it in bulk, and then when they run out, they sell it on the black market for triple the price.
So the only people who could afford to buy it in bulk are the billionaires? Huh. And they got more things on their mind. Like, Russia's a crazy country when you think about it.
Yeah.
Fucking the highest percentage of billionaires, not million, billionaires live in Russia.
Yeah.
Right? But everybody else is dirt poor. So you've got like the top 2% of the Russian population or the top 0.5% of the population, richest people in the fucking world.
Yeah.
Everybody else, dirt fucking poor.
Poorest people in the world.
It's a crazy fucking country. No wonder they tried to annex the Ukraine. I mean, I didn't say that. I swear I didn't say that at all. You know what? You know what they need? You know what they need? They need a lucky bobblehead.
Seriously?
A lucky bobblehead. Not just any lucky bobblehead. They need a lucky beard bobblehead.
Is this the fucking dude that rubs the dude's head at the NFL?
Okay. So, the lucky beard bobblehead guy.
Yeah.
Right, and there's a whole website. This is all jumped up in the last fucking 3 weeks, okay? So this fella by the name in Wisconsin by the name of Jeremy Wilcox has got a beard. He's got a beard, and his beard has been credited with being the reason why the Wisconsin Packers or the fucking whoever the fuck Packers
really?
Had an undefeated streak.
Green Bay Packers.
That's the ones. I don't know.
Lost all our US listeners.
I don't know the kickball.
I'm sorry for Drunkle Dan.
I don't know sports. Fuck.
I don't know the kickball.
I don't know the kickball at all.
I only kick it like once or twice a game.
Okay, stop. So apparently this football team called the Packers.
Yep.
You know, the people who run it all in the same uniform. Their undefeated streak.
That's literally what they are, she said.
Their undefeated streak has been attributed to this one man, Jeremy Wilcox, whose beard has been tugged by multiple players throughout the season, which has led to a fellow by the name of Phil Sklar, who is the co-founder and CEO of the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame, to make one of Wilcox for all who want one, which is complete, mind you, with a lifelike beard to tug when you need the lug.
Really?
Really, really, really.
That's cool.
It is fucking cool. It's a limited run. They're a numbered series. You can pre-order them now at www.luckybeardguy.com.
Done. Deal.
And costs about $15 American.
That's about 20, almost 20 bucks here.
Yeah, about that. Yeah, about 20 bucks or not even 17 bucks. But, I've seen this story, man. Fuck, it gave me the gigs. It really did because I haven't been fucking credited for an undefeated, you know, sports streak.
Yeah.
But this whole thing with men grabbing other men's beards is not an unknown thing to me.
No, it's not.
No, it really isn't. I've got two stories that stand out in my mind at the forefront, right? Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm quitting smoking. Anyway. First story, I was at the local RSL, which is the Return Servicemen and Women's League for those who don't live in Australia. Sitting at the bar, waiting for my drink. Chick leans over the corner of the bar, starts stroking my beard. And I'm like, okay, fair enough, that's cool. And she's like, oh, that's a nice beard. I'm like, thanks, love. Yeah, okay, I'll go back to my beer. Go back to waiting for my beer, and I'm fucking starting to eyeball the chick behind the bar. Fucking hurry up. This fucking scruffy little mincing fucker who was with this fucking chick reached over and goes, yeah, that is a nice beard, and started stroking me. Like, whoa, fucking back up, buddy. What the fuck are you doing?
You're stretching the friendship here.
Yeah. First experience of a beerpy.
A beerpy.
A beerpy.
Beer-dippy. A beerpy.
And actually, this happened just recently over Christmas time. I was out at the Beerwah Tavern.
Yeah.
Right? Having a few drinks with the brother-in-law. About the front having a smoke, and this dude comes up out of nowhere. This rather nicely dressed gentleman, clean shaven, of course.
Of course. It's always the clean shaven ones that want to grab it.
It's because they're jealous.
Beard envy.
And he comes up and he goes, that's a nice beard. Oh, yeah, thanks, bro.
With the eye roll and eyebrow raise too.
You know, with the fucking weird, you know, discombobulated eyeballs, the fucking half-drunk Corona in hand, the fucking paisley pink fucking shirt. That's a nice
salmon,
beard.
Bro. It's salmon.
I see you've met my father. And he goes, and I go, thanks, bro, thanks. And I sort of shift around in my chair a little bit and start looking out at the traffic. He goes, hey, this is a really nice beard. I shaved mine off today.
I went,
why would you do that, man? He goes, he goes, I don't have your confidence. I went, what do you mean you don't have my confidence? He looked me up and down, right? My brother-in-law's starting to get shirty by this stage. He looked me up and down. He goes, now, you're a bit of a bigger fella, and you've got a beard. I'm a bit worried about getting pussy. And I'm like, are you fucking serious?
Really?
Are you serious right now?
There's this thing called bristler.
I didn't even say that. I'm just like,
you should have. That would have been the icing
on
the cake.
Women love the beard. You know, I'm in a very committed, happy fucking relationship. In fact, I'm getting married. That happened over the fucking break. I got engaged. But, it carried on. I started going for my smokes out the back, because every time I walk out the front, he's sitting there going, that's a nice beard. It's awesome.
He's one of those repeat storytellers.
Oh, every single fucking time.
I know a few of those.
God,
my mother's one.
Damn it, man. It's just, yeah, beard creepies. They do exist, and a shocking number of them are men.
Mm.
You'd think you'd
get... Well, like
get
I said, it's fucking beard envy.
Yeah.
And it's always the unshaven. The shaven, sorry.
It is the shaven. And then especially when you take into reports this week that the holiday beard...
Has been taken...
Has started to fucking go down the fucking drain.
I'm disappointed. Kudos to those people that kept it. I love it.
Now, I did tell this young gentleman to check us out. So if you are listening, my young friend from fucking...
BWA Pub.
We love you, bro. We love you. You just need to grow the beard. In fact, an open message to all the beardless lads out there. Just grow the beard. We're living in a society that is accepting the beard more and more and more and more. And it's not just for hipsters. The hipsters are the ones who are going to shave their beard once the so-called peak beard has been achieved.
Which I don't believe it has yet.
And I don't think it has yet.
No.
I don't think it's far off till the hipsters decide to move on to something else, like, I don't know, magnetic tapes. Yeah.
What? Okay.
Yeah, well, it'll be the next thing you watch.
Oh, have you heard about these things called tapes? They were really big during the 90s.
Oh, God.
Fucking
history
clowns.
Repeating itself.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it is.
Oh, no. There'll be another peak beard in about 20 years.
Yeah. So if you do want to, keep getting back to fucking subject, if you do want a lucky beard bobblehead, head over to www.luckybeardguy.com and go get yourself one while they're still available. 15 fucking bucks, man. You can't go past that.
So do they know how many they're actually making? Or
they're making them to order.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
When's it closed?
I'm not quite certain. Cut off time, off the top of my head. It couldn't be too far away, I don't think. But yeah, definitely go out and go get yourselves one of those.
Done.
What else we got? Brigham.
Brigham
University, which we brought up a little while ago.
BUI, they've had a bit of
a win for the bearded lads.
Bit of a win. They've had everything against them lately. Because Brigham Young Uni is a church-owned university.
Mormons.
Oh, I don't know if they're fucking Mormons.
They are Mormons.
Okay, well, there you go. They're Mormons. They're not really enthusiastic about the beard.
In fact, it is in their policy that you must be clean-shaven at all times. Part of the dress code, which was common during, especially, you know, Yale and Harvard and all those sort of places.
Yeah.
It is a part of the standard of fucking dress for the young gentleman.
The young gentleman. But apparently they've had a couple of exemptions passed. Now, they're still very strict on the beard, the facial fuzz. But there's three exemptions that have been passed. A medical one, like a skin condition. The religious, e.g. Muslim. And there's a certain guy that's been pushing this. I can't fucking remember his name for the life of me. And for theatrical performance.
Yeah, they've put it under three classes. You can get a medical exemption somehow. You can get a religious exemption for the Muslims and the Muslims. And you can also get it for the performance arts. you can also get the fucking exemption as well.
Yeah, they're a little bit scared that people are going to take advantage of the medical situation.
Which I don't see how you can. Like,
well, how hard is it to go to the doctor and be like, oi, if I shave, my skin gets fucking irritated. I can't shave.
True that. I didn't even think of that.
That's all you've got to do, and then you get a fucking doctor's certificate. You got a medical exemption.
It's been that long since I shaved. I fucking, it did not occur to me.
Yeah. So it's that easy, but yeah, it's, I don't know. They're a little bit scared, but if they said if it does get to that point, they're just going to revoke it.
That's fucked.
No.
That's fucked.
Be it on, motherfucker.
Be it on indeed. Be it on indeed.
Speaking of beating on, in downtown San Antonio, every third Friday, the city is putting on a bearded contest with live music from bearded bands with bearded vendors. The latest was held on the 16th of January, which is 2 days ago by my watch, but we're in Australia, so it was yesterday in the US. This one was put on by the Alamo Beard Club. Although the comp was all about the beard, the actual event is about helping youths bringing forth their artistic side through music.
Nice.
So it's a bit of a combination of both. And the best beard winner, they won a Gibson Epiphone guitar.
Beautiful.
So yeah, fucking kudos to that. And not only that, man, I encourage more of this sort of shit. Get around the beard prompted events.
Well, anything that brings the beards to the forefront, you know what I mean?
Not only that, it's one of the most common, universally fucking things that all men have in common. And you can get behind. It's quite easy to get followers and people to kind of, yeah. You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah. So I love it. There should be more of this shit. In Australia too, for fuck's sake.
Well,
I'm talking to you, Mr. Beard Enthusiast from Toowoomba, with that Facebook page. I can't remember what it's called. You know what it's called.
The Toowoomba Facial Club.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Sunshine Coast Facial Hair Club is doing great, great things with trying to,
Beard Fest.
Promotes. Yeah, we've got, well, I don't think there are two or three different fucking events that go on throughout the year. In fact, I think they had one just the other day from time of recording, so...
Nice.
You know, it is happening slowly but fucking surely. So, yeah, no, that's fucking great, man. It's good to see it is happening more and more throughout the fucking time.
Mm.
And, you know what?
No doubt this year we'll probably try and promote beards.
I wouldn't mind getting to the Beards and Blues Festival.
Oh, my God. Just to jump in.
Two of my favourite things right there.
As of Monday, tomorrow,
yep.
In Australia, which is tomorrow in the US, I guess. Fucking, the Beards are announcing another Australian tour.
Now, do we know it's a tour?
Yes.
How do we know?
Because they've said it on Facebook and Twitter.
All I've seen is they're going to make an announcement.
No, there was another... What's the word I'm looking for?
Announcement?
Another update.
Update?
That's the word. I've had too much whiskey. Yeah, no, it's another update on today. On the Facebook, I do believe.
Nope, not the Facebook.
No. Are you sure?
The only thing they got on the Facebook is 2 days ago they went, hey, Australia will be making an exciting announcement on Monday. In the meantime, here's us in bed together playing a song about beards. And then yesterday they went, just a suggestion, grow a beard. I'm just checking the Twitter now.
Oh, it must have been Twitter then. I saw something that they're doing another Australian tour. I'm sure of it.
Hold up 100.
Just bear with Dan reading.
Ah, here we go. Yeah, on Twitter, and it was 3 days ago.
Well, there you go.
Is the new year not providing the excitement you hope? Good news. Next week, we're bringing you new Aussie tour dates and a new film clip.
Yes.
Woo-hoo!
So hopefully they come back to Toowoomba. Even if they don't, and they go to Brisbane, we're going to Brisbane.
I don't care where the fuck they're going. We are going to see the fucking beards. God damn it, man. I'm telling you right now.
We should try and organise a proper interview this time, though. Instead of lining up in the merch line and be like, how you going?
You know what? Your manager's a fucked up. Did you know that? Your manager's a cunt.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not the word you used.
You fucking bitch. But I tell you what, they fucking handled that quite well. And
they were a little bit puzzled at the start.
They were a little bit
you
puzzled.
You fucking
but
rambled off for a good while. I was standing there, I'm like, get to the point.
I do think the bottle of vodka and half a bottle of tequila might have had something to do with that.
Yeah, and all the other different drinks you had.
Yeah.
one you poured yourself to me that tastes like butthole.
Well, fuck, I fucking had to do something quickly. So
I only drank it because it's free.
So stay fucking tuned for that. Check the Twitters and the fucking Facebook.
Oh, fuck yeah. Soon I'm going to jump on that straight away.
Because I'm telling you, if you haven't seen the Beards live, you need to. You absolutely fucking need to see them live.
Just quietly. We saw Tenacious D in their acoustic tour last year, and we saw the Beards last year. And I've got to say, the Beards blew them right the fuck out of the water.
Been to a couple concerts, the Beards fucking have come out on top.
Yeah,
absolutely, dude. They're the fucking pure energy and
and you fucking feed off it.
The presence that they put into it, you know what I mean? It's just unreal. They love their fans. They're playing to their fucking audience to a fucking perfected fucking T.
And like I said, it's about a topic that everyone can get behind.
Exactly. Like, well, at least everybody who's willing to pay the fucking ticket price, I mean? And they don't charge through the fucking nose for it.
No,
so
they don't.
Yeah, I know. Go along, check them out. Keep an eye on the fucking Beards. If you're into the Beards, keep an eye out for them very, very soon. Now, just before we get into the Beard calendar.
Yeah.
Golden Globes were on fucking just the other week.
Were they?
Yeah, bro.
Pay attention to that shit.
I tell you what, they fucking, the Beards, and by that I mean not the Beards, but just Beards in general, were well represented.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, so I thought we'd have a bit of a look at the few Beards that turned up. Now, fucking, yeah, we've got Matthew McConaughey, Jake Gyllenhaal, fucking David Olio, fucking Steve Carell, friggin' Brian Cranston, we've got Jared Leto.
Oh, have you seen the
Jamie
fucking
Duran,
the meme with Jared Leto?
Chris Daughtry.
Go back.
We've got Ethan Hawke. Hang on, we'll get to it. We've got Jack Black. We've got Joshua Jackson. And fucking, you know who's not included on the list I've got in front of me?
Who?
Leonardo DiCaprio has got a killer beard. Fuck me, Ryan. So I thought we'd go through some of the beards in fucking order.
Okay.
In order.
Okay.
My God.
I didn't know.
Starting with
the
most fucking pathetic fucking beard at the Golden Globes, but you know what? He's trying, and that is, of course,
Chris Pratt
doing the, you know, the 16-year-old bum fluff extra.
He honestly does, eh?
He does, man. Like, it's
oh, God.
Poor guy. But at least he's trying, you know what? Hopefully that fucking spins out into a nice full beard by the end of the year.
Good. He should sport one through Guardians of the Galaxy, next one.
Oh, it'd be nice. Mm. It'd be absolutely nice. And we'll go back up at who you after? Fucking Gyllenhaal?
No. Jared Leto.
Jared Leto.
Now, look at this, right?
Okay, so we're looking at Jared Leto's beard at the moment.
I'm going to take the mic off the stand right now so you can still hear me, right?
Here we fucking
go.
Now, Professor fucking JD.
Look at the top. Does that not look like Katy Perry?
No.
It fucking does. Go and look at a picture of Katy Perry.
No, it doesn't.
There's a meme about that. If it's Katy Perry with a beard.
All right.
And I fucking pissed myself.
I'm calling your shit out right now.
He's calling my shit. Oh, my God. It's spitting image, hey.
Right. So while I'm looking this up, Katy Perry with a beard.
No. Yep.
Okay. So, look, man, it's coming in rather nicely.
Like, there's an actual fucking
you're not talking
GIF
about Conchita Wurst, are
you? No. There's either a GIF or a fucking YouTube video that shows him or Katy Perry, and then you put the fucking, it slowly fades the beard on, and it's a spitting image. I literally piss myself laughing. PMSL? Ruffle?
PMSL.
I ruffled so hard.
Me personally, I'd rather the comparison between him and Buddy Christ.
Who's Buddy Christ?
From Dogma.
Okay.
Oh my God, are you fucking kidding me?
Is he the one that passed away?
No.
Not the guy that gives blowjobs on Chuck's on fucking James Silent Bob?
You shame me. That's what you do. You shame me.
Sorry.
Fuck it. Can't find the meme. I think it's stupid. I can see where they're coming from, but I still think it's stupid.
No, I'm gonna post it on Twitter tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll post it on Twitter.
If not tonight, I'll probably stay out tonight.
But I mean, it is coming along rather nicely. You can't fucking argue
that. Well,
kudos
to him.
He does kind of look like a homeless rat who found a fucking suit. But
the fact that he's just quietly jumped on the fucking what is it? The Sinister Six?
Has he?
Is it the Sinister Six?
No, you're thinking of
Suicide Squad. Sorry,
Suicide Squad. Yeah, as the Joker.
As a Joker, yeah.
Hey, fucking weird. But
and Margot fucking, what's her face?
Margot Robbie.
Yep, as Harley Quinn.
Oh, rather nice looking bit of crumpet.
yes, as I, it's my fondle, my monocle.
Matthew McConaughey, man, what the fuck's going on there?
I don't know, but you know who he looks like.
It's getting a bit scruff.
He looks like Christian Bale.
you know.
He does.
Hey,
doesn't.
Good for you! All right. Can you imagine those two getting into an argument? They're like, seriously, fuck me, right?
They already have. On Reign of Fire.
Have they really?
Yeah, they were both in Reign of Fire.
Yeah, I know they were both in Reign of Fire. I didn't realize they argued.
No, well, on the movie they did.
Oh, God damn it.
Not behind the scenes, you
fuck.
McFuck.
Fuck Jake Gyllenhaal. No, well.
I'll leave the poor fella. I've got to say, from watching the fucking preview to the Nightcrawler.
No, I really like Jake Gyllenhaal, but fuck off, idiot. God
he
damn.
Was the bubble boy.
He was the bubble boy. David Ollier. I didn't realize this fella was a darker gentleman.
Really?
I don't know what I expected from a name like Ollio. But yeah, looks like he's embracing his Rebels fucking voice acting career and starting to grow it out, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
Fuck Steve Carell. Bryan Cranston, he always looks good. Always looks nice with a beard. He's growing it in nice and thick. I'm not looking forward to the conversation, actually. Fuck it. While we're on this note, it's time to editorialise. I'm not looking forward to the conversation I'm going to have with my son when he's about 14.
Why?
Because he really wants a beard.
Yeah.
Yeah? Now, the thing is, as we all know, you can't just not shave and let a beard grow.
At that age, no.
Well, not at any age. Even if you never fucking shave, you're still going to have that weird peach fuzz shit, bum fluff. Yeah. You need to be shaving for a good fucking little while before you can fucking grow proper fucking stubble.
Yeah, so I'll give him like fucking 3 or 4 years of solid shaving.
Well, I only had to shave for about a year and a half before I could let my goatee grow.
So I was a late bloomer. I didn't start growing my goatee till I was about 18.
Yeah, so 17, 18. I had a goatee at fucking 16, so. Yeah. But I still had to fucking shave for that year and a half, 2 years before I could, you know, just let it grow. I'm not
let
looking forward
grow.
To that conversation. Yeah.
Let it grow.
And you know what? If the fucking peak beer hasn't been achieved by then, you know what I mean? Oh, fuck, look at that.
Is that Chris
That's
Daughtry.
Chris Daughtry from American
shit
Idol.
Has changed.
Damn, man. That is a nice beard, though. Look at it. It is a beautiful beard.
I didn't
beard.
Even recognize him. He should go in a competition with that shit.
Hey.
That's a pathetic effort.
Jack Black's getting a bit fucking old. Look at him.
Getting the grays.
Nice salt and pepper, but he's embracing it.
Yep.
I love the embracing of the beard. Love the embracing of the older beard, especially. What? Okay.
That's the back of Jared Leto, obviously.
Why?
I don't know.
You do that? That's fucking so stupid. God.
At least he doesn't have a fucking man bun.
Give him time. That's all I'm saying. Just give him time.
Just quietly. Just fucking no. No man bun.
But moving right the fuck along, do you know what is giving a man hope?
The beard calendar.
Beard calendar. Have you read about the beard calendar?
I haven't read about the beard calendar, but I tweeted something to Decemberbeard UK about what's happening after New Year's, and they're like, oh, we're getting the beard on.
Okay, so
that's very vague of what they said.
They're not
technically
calling it a beard calendar. Yep. So for all our clean-shaven brethren out there who would like to grow a beard, we have now got the perfect calendar just for you. The Ukrainian artist Anna Marinenko has created a beautiful thing. Month by month, year-long fucking growth of a beard.
Really?
The beard calendar. So what happens is
you
start
like
off
a proper calendar or
this,
is it just
this,
like...
No, this is a proper calendar.
Yeah, cool.
You know, so you start with January, February, March, April, you know, all through the months. Every single month, the picture is a beard in a state of growth.
Yeah,
nice. So starting from the stubble in January to a nice, full, beautiful beard by December. Now, the thing I really, really, really loved about this is the calendar is actually made out of transparent A4 sheets. Right? So you start at January.
Yeah.
February comes over and the growth or the picture in January is overlaid by the February growth, which is overlaid by the March growth, which is overlaid by the fucking April
growth.
That's
fucking cool.
You see what I mean? Yeah, so each fucking month, not only is it a new picture,
so
but it's given that depth and that fullness by every month that's come before. So it looks very fucking natural.
From a conventional calendar where you start with the first page and then hang it up and then go up and fold the pages up, you start at the very full book.
I think you'd start at the bottom and work your way up.
Yep, okay.
It looks absolutely fucking amazing. It was created, like I said, by this lovely Ukrainian artist by the name of Anna Marinenko, who decided that she wanted to create a minimal, simple calendar that she could create at home while embracing the current, you know, love for the beards. And she is a bit of a beardy herself. I'm just bringing up her fucking page now so I can show you. Yeah, that looks like the best picture. If it loads. We're still waiting for it. So it cost about, I think it doesn't cost that much. It cost about £40. So about probably $50. And like I said, each fucking month. Whoop, there it is.
Whoop, there it is.
Oh.
Sorry, you left it wide open.
I did leave it wide open. So there's the calendar there. And like I said, each month as it goes upon. Yeah, cool. It gets deeper and deeper and fuller and fuller and fuller and fuller as it goes along. I think this is just a great idea.
That's a pretty epic beard for a 12-month beard.
Well, this goes back to what I was just saying about the conversation I've got to have with the boy.
Yeah.
You know, the men who shave for years on end before they decide to grow a beard can tend to grow a fucking nicer, fuller beard quicker because it's a shock to the system to shave. It's an unnatural thing.
Yeah.
Unnatural. Evil, even.
Evil.
Evil. So what happens is it's like anything else that you shave. The more you shave it, the quicker it grows back, thicker, darker, coarser, blacker.
Yeah.
So if you've been shaving, you know, for 15 fucking years, decide to let the beard grow, you're going to grow a hell of fucking nice beard, a hell quick, hell thick, hell dark, hell nice. Hell, you know what I mean? That's one thing that does fucking hold me back is because I fucking gave up shaving rather quick in the fucking game.
Yeah.
I hit a level and then I sort of stopped for a while and then I just got to sort of sit there in my ass in a fucking area for a bit. But I wanted to bring that up. If you want to get one of these cracking calendars for yourself, whether it's because you love beards, whether it's because you want to grow a beard, whether it's because you just want a cool looking calendar, you better head along to www.etsy.com/shop/idea happen for her personal page. And there I'm sure you can find the beard calendar. I think we're getting rather close to the end of the show.
We are.
You know what? It's time to debut a new fucking segment, bro.
New segment.
A new fucking segment. One of the many, many segments we teased at the end of last year that we started that we're trying to... Oh, fuck me, Rain.
Oh, as he says, pouring too much vodka in the glass.
That's what happens when you estimate... Oh, no ice either. Shit!
Look, I just want to point out on fucking... through Movember, there's this woman in the UK... called Linda Cook, who grew a mustache.
Now, we did touch on this briefly. Yeah, we did.
Well, I just want to give her another shout out because I thought that was fucking fantastic. Growing a Movember as a female for her, I think it was for her partner because he has cancer.
Yes, that is indeed correct. He has cancer. So she was a lady who had a hormone imbalance or had been through menopause or some
I think it was some
business.
Kind of fucking hormone thing.
Some lady who could indeed grow a beard and she decided to stand by her partner for Movember and grew a mustache.
A mustache, she called it.
Mustache, that's it. That's remember. Yep. I remember the hashtag mustache. Yep. That's right. That's exactly fucking right.
So yeah, just a quick shout out to Linda Cook. Fucking love your work. I love your fucking drive. Beautiful.
Good on you. So, back to the subject. We've decided we're going to start shining a bit of a light.
Reasons, the motivation, the decisions why people grow beards.
Because at the end of the day, we love beards. We want every man and woman, to have a fucking beard. Why the fuck not?
All the bearded ladies, raise your hand!
So, to that end, we've reached out on Twitter, we've reached out on Facebook, we're reaching out everywhere. We want to hear from you, lads, and even ladies. If you have a beard, we want to know why you've got a beard. We want to know about your life and what you do. We just want to hear all the information about the beards, because at the end of the day, the more people we can convince to grow the beard, the better off the world is going to be. So, to that end, it is time for a Beard in Focus story. So what we're going to do is once a fortnight, we're going to shine a light on a beard that we're going to put a fucking light on. And we're going to start with the first person to actually fucking jump on board the Beard in Focus train. And that is a Mr. Snidely Mansfield. Now, do you want to take it off or do you want me to take it off?
Oh, I'll go off.
Alrighty, off you go. You got the story in front of you?
I do have the story in front of me. And kudos for Snidely, man. I love your work.
Gotta love Snidely. He is, in fact, a competitive contender in the local beard and mustache competitions. He jumped straight on board. We reached out to him on Twitter, and I think he got back to us within 24 fucking hours.
Yeah, it was rather quick.
Absolutely amazing, and he has got one of the best mustaches I've ever fucking seen.
Oh, yes.
It is just beautiful. So take it away, Mr. JD.
I have always been a hairy bastard wearing some style of beard or goatee or something. Even with me, my short time in the military, I managed to have a medical exemption from shaving, and one of the few as a recruit.
See, that's what I want to know. This goes back to our Brigham University story before. I want to get a... I'm going to get a hold of you, Snidely, because I know you're listening. I want to know how the fuck you got a medical exemption for having a beard, because that, to me, just sounds perfect.
Skin irritation, I'm telling you.
I want to know if there's something else, because surely they can give you a cream or something to get around it.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. It's a medical exemption that's getting me. But, sorry, continue, please.
Maybe he's allergic to shaving cream.
Maybe.
I don't know. Anyway, but the birth of my mustache came from a few inspirations. I was at a burlesque show in September 2012, and a local vaudeville troupe named the Mansfield Brothers were on stage. They each had crazy facial hair. I turned to my roommate, who was quite enamored with one of the burlesque girls and standing next to me, and stated, "You know what? I bet I could grow one sweet, twisty mustache." We both laughed, and I did not think much of it for a while. Halloween was coming, individual who also had a waxed mustache. So after enjoying the costume, I thought, to do this better next year, I need to grow my mustache out to really make it look authentic.
And fuck, didn't he fucking achieve that?
Oh, didn't he what?
Beautiful.
With the start of November, I shaved down the week-old beard and kept my mustache growing. During the first year, I trimmed the four inches off each side of my mustache in an attempt to grow out the middle. Over the span of the year, I became a regular in the local burlesque community and got to know the Mansfield brothers quite well, and they thought my mustache should be part of the family. It took the following Halloween to truly decide on my name. I was out as Snidely Whiplash, and it was decided that it was far too fitting to let go. I had to be Snidely Manfield. The November of 2013 was a fun one. It was when I decided to stop trimming the stash and set the goal of competing in 2015 in Austria. Later that month, a very talented local band by the name of Jack Pine and Fire were shooting a music video for their song, Mustache King, and asked me to be in it with a few other beardos. It was a lot of fun and started getting me more active in the local bearding group, the Ottawa Facial Hair Club. It was a great year with new, beautiful and amazing girlfriend and a fantastic stash. I started getting interested in the competitions and going on in the States through the year and got myself a ticket to the Portland event with the encouragement of the awesome MJ Johnson. I took first place for English mustache at the event. It was quite exciting. Then the Ottawa Facial Hair Club hosted our very first competition here in Canada's capital. It was a wonderful success and raised money for some great causes. Now, with Austria coming up in October, I am really looking forward to this new adventure and finally reaching my goal. As for hipsters, I think even more people should embrace their facial hair. It is the wonderful form of self-expression, a lot more natural than shaving. I personally feel that one's shaving other hipsters.
Hear, hear!
Fucking A. I think many beard products are quite handy. Waxes for styling, oils for getting rid of the itch, and keeping your hair clean. I do not think bearding has reached its peak. I think we need a lot more of it. I have been very fortunate for all the opportunities, conversations and friendships that have come because of this facial hair. Since the win, I have had many pictures taken of me. Excuse me. But there is one photographer who has helped us beardos out in town the most. She owns Polestar Photography, and she is the one who took this lovely photo above. And that's it. He says, thanks for reading and bid on. He's from the Ottawa, Ontario, Canada.
He's from Ottawa in Ontario, Canada. He's part of the Ontario. Ottawa Facial Hair Club. And you can find him on Facebook. Just look for Sydney Mansfield on the Facebook. You can find him Snidely on the Twitter Mansfield. At Snidely Man. And, of course, go ahead and follow the Ottawa FHC on the Twitter machine. Now, look. Great fucking mustache. He brings up some brilliant fucking points.
He does. And it just shows how much facial hair can change your life. Seriously.
Well, that it does. That it does, exactly. Now,
and how far you can go. Like, he's... And I do believe that competing in the 2015 Austria may have been a typo, because he was talking about it in October.
Yeah, October this year.
Oh, is it October?
Yeah, October 2015.
Oh, there you go.
Because he had that kerfuffle with, you know, the Americans splitting off and forming their own world and world beard and mustache championships, which is what he was talking about with the event in the America, whereas Austria was the first, which is the original fucking WBMC.
Yep.
So, you know, there it is. If you want to read his story, you want to look at the great Snidely Manfield's cracking mustache, not to mention the Mustache is King clip by Jack Pine and the Fire, why don't you head along to www.thedrunkenbeersman.com and follow the links to the Beard and Focus, and there you'll find good old Snidely. So we're going to do this once a fortnight. I can keep getting you lovely bearded lads to send in your fucking stories. We want to know. We want to hear anything that encourages that. It was a really inspirational story. I do know that Snidely's had a bit of a health crisis in the last year, which he's finally started to get a bit of help with.
Yep.
And it seems that the beard community has helped him quite a lot as far as emotional support has gone. And like I said, he does bring up some great points. His point about the hipster, which is one of the standard questions we ask. If you do want to submit your story, you know, head along to the website and you'll find the links there. You know, he feels that the one shaving are the hipsters, and why the fuck not? You know what I mean? It's a very good fucking point to be bringing up, and I really do like it. And it's good to see that there is, in fact, a person out there, this Polestar Photography, which you'll find the links also within Snidely's story.
Yes.
It's great to see that there's someone out there who really does justice. And I mean, if you do search for Snidely on the interwebs, you can find some absolutely great pictures out there.
Oh, yeah.
And she does do a brilliant
that stash
job.
Is so photogenic.
It is. It's so well.
Yep.
So that was our very, very first inaugural Beards in Focus fucking story. Like I said, head along to the website. You can find a couple more there, including some that are going to turn up on the podcast in the coming episodes. That's us. I think we've done it.
They've done.
It's our first episode of 2015. It's a little bit longer, I think, but we've got some catching up to do.
We did.
So, brother, if they want to find us, where can they get a hold of us?
Head over to thedrunkenbeersman.com, where you will find everything about us. You can also follow the links to Facebook, Twitter. Fuck, what are we on now? Podbean.
iTunes, Stitcher,
Podbean, fucking...
If you have been subscribing to us on the iTunes over the last year, you'll find there is a little bit of a problem at the moment. We did used to go through Libsyn. We're now over at Podbean. If you don't like the iTunes or you don't have an Apple phone, which is a lot of us, our feed has changed. We've had a bit of an upheaval in the last fucking month or so. Bear with us. We are still here, clearly, because you found us. So jump along to the links. You'll find links to all the new fucking sites and new feeds and everything else that you want to find us. Until next fortnight, because we're going to change it from weekly to fortnight.
Yep.
I'm Drunkle Dan.
I'm JD.
And remember,
stay bearded and beautiful, people.
Cheers! Just close your eyes and touch me in the beard. It won't bite. You and my beard are gonna have a really nice time. My beard, it's waiting for you. And girl, you know I want you to. So put your hand up in my beard and see what you can find. You don't have to be scared. Just touch it, baby, yeah. All my facial hair. Just put your hand right there. There's magic in the air. Darling, yeah, you really want to clutch it. For reasons you can't understand. Wanted so much, so baby, just retouch your hand and touch me in the bed. Go ahead and touch me in the bed. I want you to hold it, stroke it, put your head inside and say goodbye to all your fears. Just close your eyes and touch me in the bed. Thanks for listening. This has been a production of R vs. R Media. Theme song is Touch Me in the Beard and is provided with much gratitude by The Beards. Find more of their stuff at www.thebeards.com.au. Remember to go ahead and check out the website at www.thedrunkenbeersman.com where you'll find all our booze reviews, rants, and previous episodes of the podcast. Tingles up and down your spine, tears well up, emotions flow. Don't be scared, just let it all go. This is the moment dreams come true, so do I, do I, want to do.